Hey, pussy, are you still there?
I actually admire that you can actually be this fake. And like when the TV comes on, how you can just change. You're the scum of the earth.
The only time I commit, I couldn't do it. The only time I couldn't do it. Look at me now. Look at me.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Over the Octagon podcast here with your boys, Evan, Joel, and Nick. And tonight, we are very pleased to announce we have a special guest joining us. Sir, you want to introduce yourself? Tell the people.
First of all, thank you guys for having me. Will the Franchise Dickey out of Wisconsin, fighting for the Cage Fury light heavyweight title, April 12th, Atlantic City. I'm glad to be here, you guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And we were talking a little bit before, you know, we started recording or whatever here. I told you I'm going to be at the event. And, you know, we watched a couple of your highlights, which you have. You're definitely no short amount of highlights from you. You like to get guys out of there. You got bricks for fucking hands from what I've seen. I was telling them before we kind of jumped in and started tonight, I watched a video. You knocked some dude out with like backup, quick little check hook, and he face planted. And I told them, I was like, this is the fucking guy. Like, these are the guys that we want on our show, right? Yeah. We don't want the fighters that point their way to little decisions. We like exciting fighters and guys that get in there and bang. And you've been doing this for a long time. You started your pro debut in 2009. Is that right?
Correct. Yep, 2009. And I'm a finisher, man. I love the bang. I don't really follow much stats on the internet, but somebody pointed out I got a 94% finish rate.
Yeah.
I just competed in Alaska for Solid as a Rock. Shout out all those guys out over there, Miss Melinda. Took out their light heavyweight champ, the number 10 guy in the nation. He was a tough dude. I actually ended up getting a rear naked choke. I've been working on my jits a lot, I'm a stand up fighter, but I'm just a finisher. So like you put me in there, we're gonna bang. So
yeah, I was actually talking to Evan about this earlier, and I was like, you know, you see him, he looks like a guy who just wants to knock people out, but he also has that other side to him where he can get those submissions. And it almost like you're saying you're starting to improve your jiu-jitsu, but it seems like you have it down. I mean, you've gotten guys out both ways, knockout, submission, only of what, two decision wins in your whole career, in your whole pro career?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think it's only like two decisions, I think it's like two decisions. Like I said, I'm in their bang, so like I've never been one to like play with the judges. I don't want to leave that in their hands. So never. It's kill or be killed in there. So that's just kind of how it's I fight.
One
so.
Rule, never leave it in the hands of someone else. Yeah,
we're obviously, you know, huge fighting fans, MMA, big fans of Muay Thai as well. Love and, you know, you watch a lot of these events and there's always like controversy spinning around on the internet when with some like a controversial decision. Like, I can't believe he got robbed. And we say it all the time. We're like, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you can't chance it. You can't chance it to leave it up to them. So 94% finish rate, man. I love to hear that. We're not chancing nothing to the judges.
Not at all.
So let's talk about your fighting career too. So are you 38, 39 years old?
I just turned 38. Yep. I'm on the backside of my career. I think I started in 08 and I turned pro in 2009. I've been at it a long time. I don't know. Fighting's always been my kind of my crutch in life. It's always been something that I put a lot into, but it's also been, it's been a blessing and a curse. A blessing because, you know, obviously I've reached a lot of the pinnacle, not the pinnacle of sport, but I've reached, you know, pretty high in the sport and I've done really good for myself. But, you know, blessing because, you know, a lot of people know me that, I overcame addiction due to fighting. I ripped my shoulder real bad back in like 2011. Never got it fixed. Just was a young fighter listening to the wrong people. Yep. Went to a kind of a shady doctor and he just overprescribed me. Long story short, I was on that hell ride for 5 years, accumulated a couple losses. I've been sober since 2015, and it just so happens since I've been sober, I have not lost a fight. So
that's amazing. Just,
God bless awesome. Right there. Appreciate man. It.
Wow, that's so amazing. This is you know, and I'll just take a minute to touch on that a little bit, and because when I was looking through the Cage Fury event, looking into fighters, just for because we're going, I'm going to the event, just looking at what it was. Some names I recognized, some I didn't. So then, you know, from the podcast perspective and content perspective, we start kind of looking into, all right, let's figure out who these guys are. Let's reach out to some of them, to see if maybe they'd come on the show and talk with us. And you know, when I was doing some stuff and watching some videos and some other podcasts and things that you've done, I heard this, that you say that, and I've heard this story, and you took a long break,
5 years,
about 5 year break from 2014 to 2019. And I saw that in your record previously, and I was like, man, that's kind of like crazy. You don't see that very often, unless a bad injury or something. And then I saw the podcast, you talking about addiction. And you know, these two know, you know, Joel and Nick know, you know, but I just celebrated 2 years sober on March 26th. Right. So, and, you know, I just say that to say, you know, when I listen to kind of you describe your story and 2015, man, that's 9 years. That's a long time. You know, you've been doing this thing for a minute now. So, and it's the same thing for me, you know, like this focuses me, channels me, the sport of mixed martial arts and fighting and everything about it. You know, so it's just awesome to hear. And when I heard that that, you know, kind of section of your story, I was more intrigued, you know, so I'm excited that you're able to hop on here and talk with us. And yeah, so we have your fight coming up. Been a long road. You've got belts in multiple promotions across your career. Yes, you just said you went to Alaska.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, took out their light heavyweight champ. Obviously you're the number one Tough ranked light heavy. I'm oh, sure. Man. Yeah. They built different over there. They're Eskimos yeah. up there.
Al Mateo, man, that dude was a tough dude, man. Like I said, he's so tough. I beat him and he's still number seven in the nation. Like he was just a shot out Al, man. He did a lot of big fights. He fought for Octagon and stuff like that. And man, that boy is a stud. I just, it could have went either way, and I just ended up pulling out the victory. So shout out to Al, man.
How did Alaska, man?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Alaska? How was Alaska?
I mean,
it was different. It was different. Yeah. Different time zone. It took me 14 hours to get there. It was a mess, but we went in there. Everybody was real cool. Shout out Miss Melinda. Shout out everybody from Solid Rock. It was just, you know, just imagine traveling 18 hours, going there, cutting weight,
imagine
going, it's fucking 10 feet of snow, you know what I mean? And it's just, went out there with like? Just, I, excuse me?
I'm sorry, what was the venue like?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. The venue was like first class. Yeah, it was, I forgot what it was called, but it was one of the best venues in Alaska in Anchorage, and it was sold out. They had the Jumbotron, it was, it was funny because like when I was young, I used to sit up in the nosebleeds, you know, watching events and stuff, you know, and then being on the Jumbotron, you know, being the main event on stuff like that. It's a blessing, man. It's just, so
you would say that event was probably, was that like one of the biggest events you've been a part of as far as promotion wise?
I got to say, it's, you know, I fight big shows, you know, Cage Aggression. I fight a lot of big shows, but Miss Belinda put together a hell of a show. You know what I mean? I all respect to them. I was very proud to be a part of that show. But, yeah, it was up there with one of the top shows I've ever been a part of.
Now you get the big win there, and now you're fighting on Cage Fury, which is, you know, that's part of the fight pass. Like, that's the views on that, you know, are incredible. Like, we watch Cage Fury events as well, and we know, you know, how big they can be. So that's a huge, huge event for you, and especially coming right in now, you're going to be able to fight for that belt, and you know,
that's what I wanted to ask you too. I mean, how does this come about, right? Like you've never fought in Cage Fury before, call. I'm guessing that's like,
no, man. I got the best management in the game. Upgrade, shout out, Upgrade. Got the best up. Best management in the game. Shout out Upgrade. Shout out Sergio. Shout out Vic. You guys turned my career around, man. They follow me, and they've just been nothing but a blessing, man. They got me this best management in the game. Upgrade. Shout out. Shout out
Upgrade. Team was able to kind of line you up with Cage Fury, who's a fighter for a light heavyweight title fight, and now here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, they got that one call, that's all type vibe. You know, they're just they have been a blessing to me. They have been nothing but the greatest. You know, I've dealt with a lot of screwed up management in my 17 years, and not taking anything away from my old management. It's just good to be taken care of. It's good to have that plug into the major organizations. Like, sure. It's just pretty much, I just work hard and they take care of everything else. So shout out Upgrade, man. I love you guys over there. Upgrade for life.
You hear plenty of horror stories of bad management with fighters. And, you know, some fighters could have a really good career, but they just have bad management behind them and they just can't ever get to where they need to be. So I think that that's probably one of the most important pieces to have, especially when you're at a peak of your career, having someone who's there to handle everything outside of the fighting for you and get you to where you need to be. So I keep you focusing
on what you need to focus on. Correct. And what's important. You know, we've heard stories like that for years though, even mm-hmm. decades ago in boxing, same thing. You know, the like different promoters and managers and all this kind of stuff. So you're extremely blessed that you're able to find, you know, good ones, like you said, that take care of you, and you can just put the work in and they take care of the rest.
Yeah. Julian, Sergio and Vic, they're a team, and Sergio found me, Julian and Vic, it just take me, and all of them just took me to the next level. All I got to do is just train hard and they take care of everything else. They got me the Celsius deal. They got me.
Nice. Yeah, that's big.
What else is that? Whoa. They got. We're working on the Prime situation. I mean, they got me everything. But I got to work hard. I still got to deliver. But sure. These guys, all I got to do is just show up. All I got to do is show up, and then that's hard to find. And I'm blessed with them. So,
and that's a good opportunity, right? You have people that open doors. It's just up to you to walk through them, right? So you got to put the work in to walk through the doors that are being opened to you right now. And you got a great opportunity coming up April 12th against Luke Fernandez, Cage Fury. It's going to be live on UFC Fight Pass for anybody that doesn't know. You know, you can get UFC Fight Pass for like $8. This is not a $90 pay-per-view, right? We don't got to cry about having to stream East it and send me the link, bro, and all the bullshit. To get $8, get yourself yep. UFC Fight Pass. You get Cage for you get LFA. Like, let me stop. I'm doing free promo right now. But you get huge events, and these are legitimate events. You know, this is at the MGM, I believe, in Atlantic City. It's a beautiful venue, very close to where I am. We've been to AC a few times, and it's a fight town. We just had a UFC event this past weekend in Atlantic City. You know, this is not small potatoes, man. So it's awesome that you're able to show up and, you know, do the damn thing. So, and you're on a 6-fight win streak right now.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And looking to make it 7. Do you have any, do you have any predictions for the fight April 12th?
Just straight game, straight hell. I'm a gamer, man. I just go out there, it's just straight hell. So I don't know how it's gonna end, but I'm just gonna just know one thing, that I'm gonna show up, man. I'm gonna show up to fight, and that's
I love
so.
It
feel good, weight good.
Yes. Oh yeah weight's great. Like, just weight's working great. Hard like, it's just I went back-to-back training camp, so I went from Alaska to here. We'd even stop, so it's been like a 4-month training camp. Just feel good, man. Just I'm hovering around 220, but I'm completely shredded.
I love that. Yeah. How is that? We've talked to guys kind of in your position too, right? You're working what you told us before, a 12-hour shift.
Yes, sir.
So you're working a 12-hour shift. You're going to the gym afterwards. You're training at the gym afterwards, hopping on to sit down and do stuff like this with us. I mean, this makes for incredibly long days. Right. Like, how do you manage that? What's like the best way that you found to keep yourself focused and driven and motivated to put yourself through? I mean, we're talking 15, 16-hour days. you know, you just sat down. When you sat down with us, you told us, you said, man, I just sat down, got home, took a shower, ate something. I'm just sitting down. Right. So, like, what's your key to kind of keep yourself locked in, so to speak?
The love of the sport, wanting to be more than what I showed in the past through my addiction. My work at Creative Converting, my bosses, Mark Moss, Mr. Christofferson, they have been nothing but a blessing. All my guys at work, they support me 100%. If I didn't have my guys at Creative Converting, like my superintendent, Mark Moss and Mr. Christofferson, if I didn't have, I'm not even saying his last name, but Christofferson, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have these guys, like Kenny at work, Josh at work, all my guys that helped me at work, I wouldn't be able to do it. These guys are huge supporters of mine. Every day, you know, if I'm tired, they pick up the slack. They let me off when I need to be off. No questions to ask if I have medicals, anything. So shout out to everybody at Creative Converting. Bruce, Josh, Kenny, all them. Mark Moss, my superintendent. All you guys, thank you guys so much, man, because if it wasn't for them, man, and then they're all getting together, man. There's like a group of 20 of them. They're all going to be watching it. So shout out to them for putting that together. But
sounds like questions. You got a lot of good people in your corner.
Man, the best people. The best people. I'm blessed.
That's huge.
Blessed.
It's amazing. I'm going to bring it back to something we kind of already touched on, and we don't got to get too deep into it, but even like in my own life and my own experience, right, like kind of going through the same situation. It's amazing that when you change your life the way that you did, and your whole perception changes and your whole perception shifts. And when that shift happens, everything around your life starts to change because you start to see things completely differently. The people that you had in your life before, you start going like, man, what the fuck am I doing with, you know what I mean? And then all of the people that have always been there for you, taking care of you and supporting you throughout your life. You know,
if you're anything, proud.
Yeah, you just, the gratitude that you get filled up with,
absolutely,
is really a beautiful thing, man. So like the answer that you just gave to that was an incredible answer, right? Just the love of the sport. I mean, that's, you know, we're not fighters. Some of us train, but you know, none of us are professional fighters by any means. But the love of the game and the love of the sport, and you find what you love to do and continue to pursue that, and make the people that are, you know, proud of you proud, right? That's the thing.
Absolutely. Just fill that void. You know what I mean? Like when I was off opiates, that kind of left me with this void. You know what I mean? It took me like a year to get over that stuff. You know, people say the withdrawals only last so long. And it took me, first of all, the withdrawals, I was so highly addicted, it lasted like 4 months. But for my brain to chemically balance back out to where I was making rational decisions, it took like 18 months. So that's why I didn't come back to fighting, because I was so scared that anything could happen. And I just didn't want anything to trigger me. But I just filled the void with good people. I filled the void with hard work. Like you asked me before, how do I do 15, 16-hour days? It's because it's just something I love, man. It's not, I don't look at it as, I mean, I remember being at the bottom. That's one of the reasons that I gave fighting another chance. I'm like, before I lost, I'm on a 6-fight win streak, but I lost 2 big fights all messed up. But I had 5 wins before that. Yeah. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, man, I'm like, man, if I can beat these guys all jacked up and sick off opiates and stuff, just imagine what I can do sober. So like,
it took
a little bit to get clean, but man, it was a blessing, and I wear that stuff on my sleeve. I wear it on, it's like a shield, man. I'm always very open about my addiction, because I know there's a lot of people that are going through stuff that you know, that they're in the closet about, and I just want them to know, as cliche as it sounds, as corny as it sounds, man, you can get over it, man, and the world's a better place, and the world is beautiful, and you don't need none of that stuff as a crutch, man. You do not need none. Don't worry about the doctors. Don't listen to none of them. Just, you don't need none of that, man. The world's a beautiful place, man.
Hey, I can speak from experience. Sometimes some of the closest people I've ever met have walked through hell to get out on the other side. And I mean, they're the best people in the world, but there was one point in their life where they didn't even believe in themselves. And now, you know, they're doing the damn thing. So that's awesome for you, man. I'm happy.
Appreciate it.
So let's talk. We have this fight coming up, but let's talk future a little bit. We'll take our minds off this upcoming fight for a second. You just turned 38. We're going to manifest. We're going to manifest, right? So you just turned 38. We're going to AC in 11 days. We're going to be Cage Fury light heavyweight champion. Luke Fernandez is going to be asleep on the canvas probably somewhere. They're going to be scraping him up with a shovel and putting him in a bucket and carrying him out of there. There's going to be a dead body. Yeah. You're going to hear me yell from the crowd. There's a dead body. That man dead. If you hear somebody yell, that man dead, it's just know it's me. But and then so then what's like, I know it's hard. Like we want to keep our focus right, like on what's in front of us. But I mean, what's like the vision here, right? Like long term goals in fighting. Where do we see fighting going? You know, for yourself, just at 38 years old, obviously, you know, like you mentioned yourself already, you're kind of at the tail end of your career, right? So do we go into some kind of coaching role, or do you stay in fighting in some capacity, or what do you think that looks like?
Well, first of all, I'll thank everybody that helped me get to that point. That's one of the big things. I just want to thank everybody that got me to that point. But looking past that point, it's, you know, I always said I'm probably just going to go till I lose or until I get a contract. You know, I got something that works with Upgrade. But you know, they're hard on me. They know what I'm capable of. So, you know, it's not just winning. I got to go out there and look good too. You know what I mean? Like I just beat the number 10 guy in the nation, and with all love for my management, the first two guys in my management, like, great job. The head guy's like, you got tired in the third round. You know, it's kind of like that hard, you know, that hard knocks, you know? So I love that. Yeah. So, we do have a plan. Everything's an Upgrade, man, whatever they want me to do. So if it goes the way I want it to go, and all respect to Luke, but if, you know, if he's laid flat out, flatlined, then it's going to open up a lot of doors. You know what I mean? And
That boy dead.
Yeah. It's going to open up a lot of doors. So we got some stuff in the work, but I can't look past this guy because he's absolutely
not. Right. And as I said, I don't want to, you know, I understand where we're we keep our focus on what we got right now, you know, but I'm curious, right? Cause like you're fighting a lot younger guys at this point in your career, right? I mean,
like you said, the new age of martial arts.
Yeah. Man, it's a little bit different, but I agree with you, and I got to give you a lot of respect, man, because there's not a lot of guys. I mean, you've been doing this amateur since 2008, pro since 2009. Neither one of these guys are math geniuses either. So let me think, about 15 years, right? We're looking about 15 years pro. I mean, that's a blessing right there. Like not a lot of guys are able to be in your shoes to where they're still fighting professionally 15 years in.
Yep.
You know, you don't see it very often.
Gotta want it, man. It's a full-time job, especially at 38, man. Like I'm on a strict diet. You know, my sleep schedule, everything is so strict. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke weed. I don't do nothing. I live a lame life. I go to work. I feel good at 38. I feel like I run with these guys, but my recovery time's a little messed up. You know, I've been a little older. That's the only thing I can't really get over, my recovery time, but I feel good at 38. So like, so I feel like I can still compete with these guys because I live that lifestyle. You know what I mean? But I don't feel like I've lost a step yet, but we'll see what happens, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, if I have a feeling if I was out there partying and stuff, I probably look like shit. But I lived a sober life, and I've been that way for the last 8 years. So like, I feel like
locked
at 38, I'm you know, even though I'm 38, I can still dunk a basketball. I can still, you know what I mean? So like, we still out there. So.
You're still killing, yeah, man.
Yeah. Joel's 5'3" and 275 pounds, and he can still head kick.
I can head kick. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it was not 5'3", but I can definitely head kick.
Well, listen, man, you guys got anything else for Will before we get out of here?
No, we appreciate you coming on, man. We're super excited to watch your fight. We typically we do like group watch alongs as well. So like, while Murky will be, or Evan will be at the fight in person, me and Nick will be in a Discord showing the fights to other people as well. So we invite people out to watch guys who are on the show and things like that. So you'll get support online, you'll get support in person. So we're here to watch.
That's a Friday night. Do one of our little companions.
Make sure you come up and say what up to me, man. I'd love to show you some love, man, for having me out. Make sure you come up and say what up to me. There's gonna be a lot going on, but I've always take a minute to thank you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt.
If I could just thank a couple people, my sponsors and shit, sponsors and my coaches and stuff. Everybody at Red Schaefer's, man, I love you guys. Coach B, he's going to be with me at the fight. All my training partners, Timmy, everybody at Sean O'Gracie's, Green Bay Jits, everybody at Manitowoc, my sponsors, Celsius, Mickey Magnum. He's going in for surgery tomorrow, man. My prayers are with you. Man, I'm probably forgetting a bunch, but everybody at work, everybody at Creative, thank you guys so much. To you guys, thank you guys so much. Cage Fury, thank you so much for having me. I will put on a show. To Luke, man, appreciate you for taking the fight, man. Much respect to you. So I appreciate everything. To my girlfriend too, man. My girlfriend, man. She's like,
oh man, you were about to be in the dog.
Save yourself, bro. You almost messed up.
She was looking at me from the corner. So I guess. Shout out to my girlfriend, man. She gets me to practice. She meal preps everything for me, man. I love you, baby. So
that's huge.
Awesome, well, listen, man, it was a pleasure having you again, guys. For anybody that doesn't know, we got Will the Franchise Dickey versus Luke Fernandez for the Cage Fury light heavyweight title on April 12th in Atlantic City. It's also live on UFC Fight Pass. And this is the main event of the evening, from what I understand. You're going to make, second to last walk, man. You're out there. I'm going to be geared up. I mean, I'm sober, so I'm going to be like 17 Red Bulls in or something, probably all jazzed out.
Celsius.
Just for you.
Yeah. Awesome.
But listen, it was a pleasure having you, and we will definitely we'll try to figure out something to link in AC after the fight or whatever. Even if we just for the gram, we got to get a little pick or something for the gram, over the Afghan. Again, appreciate you, everybody listening. We will see everybody on the next one. Let's keep it hot.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you, guys.